We are actually the members of the Young Lawyers Human Rights Committee who authored the submission of the committee to the inquiry. My name is Catherine Wilson. To my left is Nana Frischling and Alicia Simmonson. To my right is Sophie McWilliams. Just briefly, who we are, the Young Lawyers Human Rights Committee is a volunteer committee. It's part of the Law Society of New South Wales. Young lawyers are lawyers under the age of 30. Yes, we are all quite young. All those who have been admitted to practice for less than 5 years. Our submission wasn't never intended to be a complete or comprehensive submission of all of the Australian laws. Tonight we are able to talk to our submission and discuss Australian laws in certain jurisdictions in some detail, although it may not be appropriate to do so now. What we would like to do, however, is give an overview of the general thrust of the submission. So I'd like to start by saying this. If we accept that the law is normative, which it is, then we must accept that the unequal treatment and non-recognition of gay and lesbian couples in Australian law results not only in greater unequal treatment and non-recognition of gays and lesbians throughout Australia. So this type of non-recognition goes beyond that which is understandable by lawyers. It is understandable and born by the hearts and the minds of gays and lesbians throughout Australia. And as young lawyers, we are particularly concerned about this in relation to young people who are the most vulnerable amongst us, including the children of gay and lesbian couples. As many of us here would know, the unsatisfactory state of the law in Australia infringes upon many international human rights covenants. Some of those that have just been canvassed by President von Dusa, so I won't go into those in much greater detail. One thing that I would like to add, though, is that our submission did concern possible models for improving or ways forward in Australian law, and the committee supports both the use of what is termed a presumptive model and an opt-in model. A presumptive model and an opt-in model, preferably operating at the same time throughout Australia in consistent terms, but at the very least a presumptive model of relationship recognition, and that in its application should not be any more onerous than those models which operate currently to the heterosexual counterparts of same-sex couples. Sorry, I'll just pass over to Alicia, who has something to add.
Thanks, Catherine. I just thought that I'd sort of canvas our introduction in some ways to the submission, in that it sort of provides a broad brushstroke sort of view of the way that discrimination exists within the law against gays and lesbians. So we sort of argued that laws that treat married heterosexual couples in a different and unequal manner than they treat gay and lesbian couples permeate nearly every sphere of social regulation in Australia, from taxation to torts to parenting and social welfare. They are laws which exist as a symbolic and a practical affront to international instruments which seek to promote the inherent dignity and rights of all people, and to the ideals of equality and non-discrimination which form the foundations, or the supposed foundations, of Australia's legal system. There are also laws which reduce gays and lesbians to marginal, fictive or often invisible legal positions. Lacking any official government recognition of same-sex relationships, gay and lesbian couples are condemned to hover around the boundaries of legal categories such as couple or parent, defined exclusively and discriminatorily as being between man and woman. as their sexual orientation collides with the heteronormative assumptions underpinning such categories, gay and lesbian couples are denied basic rights and entitlements afforded their heterosexual counterparts. Workers' compensation, property rights and inheritance, social security benefits and adoption are just some of the many areas where gay and lesbian couples are denied, are defined either out of existence or forced into a shadowy realm of partial and substandard rights. Discriminatory criteria governing access to supposedly universal entitlements and obligations leaves them only ever able to achieve an inferior form of citizenship, an incomplete realisation of their legal rights and obligations which are otherwise granted to others. Their relationships either do not exist in the law, or if they do exist, they exist as figures of lack, almost but never quite attaining the same status and rights of others. Children of gays and lesbian parents then inherit their parents' marginality, with non-biological children being denied entitlements afforded to children with heterosexual parents. So, I mean, ultimately in our submission, we just argued that that the law must recognise that lesbian and gay people do commit to intimate personal relationships and a shared life together. If the law wants to reflect the reality of such relationships, the diversity of the Australian populace, and the ideals of quality and non-discrimination that the law is meant to embody and promote.